Craig.
There we go.
Craig. All right. So,
Steve.
Let's do this. Let's give it 10 seconds and then I'll start. All right. So, countdown from 10 starting now. Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh, and all the way in the middle of parts unknown Monroe is Jeff.
Wait, way to dox me, number one. Number
hey,
two.
Hey, I said parts unknown.
Number two. Did we somehow get back to COVID? What's going on here, guys?
I know.
I heard Wells earlier. I don't know if he can still hear us, but Wells, are you still out there?
Yeah, all the way from Richmond. Hi.
Huh. Oh, you didn't. Not parts unknown. You're in Richmond. Okay. How's the move been, man?
Oh, dude. Rough. I am coming to you now from a very disheveled looking office guest bedroom area. That if we're going to have any sort of guests over, we're going to need to like really put this place into shape. So,
yeah, we sure going to have a guest over here real soon.
Yeah, that's true. So I got to get my shit together.
Cool. All right. Well, what's been going on since our last recording?
Man, that's a good question.
I would say, so, Wells, I know you've probably done a ton of shit. Jeff, have you done anything in particular?
I did get out to the new, I shouldn't call it new, I guess it's a new location for Middle James, but it's the old Dream Chasers. They're in Waxhaw. A week or so ago, pretty good time. They've it feels, you know, you walk in and it's familiar enough, but it feels like they made enough changes to kind of like put a little twist on it. It's definitely their own. It's definitely in a better place than the last time, Josh, when you and I were there. Of course, that's been a couple of years ago, but
right,
it was good times, you know. You know, Middle James, they're a crowd pleaser, and you know, none of their stuff is really offensive or anything. You know, went and had a couple IPAs, did some music bingo. It's good times. Good times.
Nice. Cool.
Other than that, what is today? Everything blends together. It's all terrible.
Time is a social construct.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's pretty much, that was the only fun thing I did.
Cool. Well, the only fun thing I did before we kick it over to Mr. Wells to talk about all of his new journeys is I went to his going away party. Got to meet the Rents.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wells is like,
was it really?
It was cool to meet Mama Wells.
Okay.
It was very nice.
And my dad was there, too.
He was. I don't think he liked me so much, but...
In fairness, do any of us like you?
No. You know how I am like an acquired taste and it takes a little bit of time to warm up to people and have people warm up to me? Yeah.
Right.
Where do you think I get it from?
Fair enough. All right. Yep. So, Wells, tell us all about the journeys of the Richmond beer world.
Oh, boy. So, we've been really tearing the Richmond beer world a new butthole. But I just want to talk about what we did on Saturday. And that is the Scott's Edition Collab Craft Crawl. So the breweries, cideries, and distillery and winery, I guess, of Scott's Edition, which is a couple neighborhoods over, all did some collaboration beers together. So you had a bourbon and apple brandy barley wine from, what was it? Ardent and the Vale, and then like I don't know, it was just I drank entirely too much, so my details are a little fuzzy, but we crawled and hit just about every single brewery, distillery, cidery, everything in a neighborhood, and that was it for me. It was great. That Vale barley wine and should surprise absolutely nobody was just absolutely amazing. Walked from there to Star Hill. You know, I'm sure you guys remember Star Hill, that Charlottesville brewery.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, they are less than 200 feet away from the Vale. So that was kind of cool to like knock both of those out. And then from there, it was just walking around Scott's Edition on the most absolutely beautiful Saturday we possibly could. So a lot of that, a lot of good times, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Maybe I'll not start out with a 14% barley wine.
Maybe a good idea.
Planning ahead is important.
Yep.
It's very important.
It is always tough, though. Like, you know, when you're doing, especially a full day out, going brewery hopping, whether it's, you know, just here locally in Charlotte or your whatever, somebody's local hometown, or especially if you're out of town, like it's, you get to a place, you see all the things. I got to have this, you know, like you, for whatever reason, we tend to gravitate towards what's the rarest thing that I'll never be able to get again. Yep. And inevitably it's like 12%. So starting there is not a great choice, but man, it's happened to me so much. Like all those beercations, you know, we'll go someplace. I'm like, sure enough, we got to Fremont. And should I start with their Pilsners? Let's go straight to Bourbon Barrel Aged Black Dark Star. Let's just start there. Might as well. You know, what could go wrong besides everything?
Well, I mean, not to put it lightly, but going up to Richmond here in a couple of weeks, I'm going to see one of my all-time favorite bands doing their 25th anniversary, right? Like, in their hometown. Like, super duper rare. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, I'm not going to leave Wells' place because I don't want to be shit-faced trying to go to that concert because I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's the Vale, and there's this, and there's that, but yeah.
Basically, if you can make it out of the Vale with your liver intact, I think you'll be all right. Right. Everybody else is a little bit more responsible. I'm a little bit more responsible everywhere else, is what I should say. But yeah, you'll be fine.
Hopefully.
I have faith in you. I have hope.
Nothing could go wrong. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing could go wrong.
Nothing at all. Yeah, we'll find out here in a few episodes what went wrong. All right. Speaking of what's probably going to go wrong, Sycamore is opening a new family-friendly brewery right down the fucking road from my house.
Man, if you needed a couple reasons to not go visit a place, I think the three key words here that killed this for you were family friendly and Sycamore.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, and yes. So for listeners unfamiliar with the Charlotte area, which I'm sure there's quite a few of you that are unfamiliar, this area that they're going to be putting this is, number one, already traffic jammed to no end, and it is getting worse and worse by the day. I found out from reading this article that there is a 1,200-person apartment complex going up behind the Publix, which you do know where that is.
Yep.
So could you imagine all of those people, that Publix, that Harris Teeter, all of that shit, and then you put in this two-story beer garden that is going to be right in that shopping center.
I'm sure it makes sense to them, right? But on the flip side, how do you... when you've got a 1,200 person beer garden going in and you have an opportunity to buy a space, I mean, like, part of me, like, I hate the fact that they're doing it, but on the flip side, like, why wouldn't they?
Oh, no, absolutely. I want to make this abundantly clear. Yes, I know that the three of us aren't really fans of Sycamore beers. I am bitching more about the fact that the traffic hell that this is about to create.
I mean, famously, that chick, like, this is going to be right across the street from that Chick-fil-A on Randolph. And that Chick-fil-A is the one that everybody, there's two Chick-fil-A's in town that everybody drags because the traffic blocks the street and everything else. And that one there in Cotswold has always been one of them.
Yep.
I don't imagine how this is going to be any worse or any better, rather.
Well, exactly. And then you put up this giant apartment complex and this 11,000 square foot beer garden that is going to be outside,
and plus another 7,000 square foot indoors,
which is
now
nuts.
The good news is you have until summer 2026 to get the hell out of the neighborhood.
True. Very true. I do. And a couple of other things to note, which, you know, kind of backs to Jeff's point of, do you blame them? In Cotswold proper, this is going to be the first brewery. I do have a couple of breweries, well, technically really one that is Cotswold-ish, I guess you could call it, which would be Vaulted Oak. Other than that, when it comes to Cotswold, there is no other breweries. And, you know, we've got a Common Market. Used to have a Harris Cedar that had a decent beer selection, but that's gone downhill. So besides Pizza Pill,
yeah,
and Common Market, those are really the only two beer spots in this. So, I mean, quite frankly, yuppie part of town.
Josh, help me out here. So if I'm understanding this correct, is this going to be like, are they putting this in that parking lot where the teeter is?
Yes. So,
ooh. Good Lord.
So if you, if you've ever been to that shopping center, like it's where the GameStop terrible. Is, it is.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they're putting it down there. Okay.
Yeah. So kind of back in that little area, I think is where this is going to end up going. Cause there is a little spot kind of behind that GameStop. So,
okay. Yeah. Cause that like, okay. So that doesn't make me quite as nervous because you've got some built-in parking there, but that I've never been in that parking lot and it not be completely full.
Exactly.
And now, so I don't see how this
much worse.
Yeah. I mean, once again, we're adding apartments, we're adding, you know, breweries and all of this space. And there's just, I wish there was, if there was like a light rail or something running through, like that would be great. But
No. Yeah. So, I mean, to Wells's point, I have a year to GTFO because this is. And yeah, talk about a place that I would never set foot in because the family friendly, bunch of kids all running around. Yeah. The beer is just not what I would be looking for. But you know, hey, good on them. One thing I do want to point out is this is supposed to be more like a restaurant, not an actual brewery. They will not be brewing on site. So it'll be a brew pub in essence, but
well, they don't brew on site where they are in South End now anyway. They've got a little their actual brewery is over near Camp North End, but it's not public facing.
Right.
I drove past it every time I went over to High Sparrow Arts.
Yeah. So, hey, good on them. Good on them.
They like money, right? Like, who doesn't like money?
Right.
So
I like money.
It just makes sense. Sycamore's got the pockets to put something in Cotswold and have it do well. And honestly,
oh, it'll kill over here.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping that a lot of the Cotswold folks that, you know, would go to like a resident culture or something, like now they can have their own little daddy daycare type situation in their own neighborhood. And, you know, these breweries will hopefully have like fewer children at each of them. It's still going to be a problem, but we'll see.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? So, Mr. Wells, what's going on with Catawba?
Oh, God. So, as if we didn't talk about Catawba enough in the last few years, Catawba Brewing used to be based out of Morganton, North Carolina, before they closed their main tap room, their Charlotte tap room, their Wilmington tap room, but they kept their Asheville tap room open on South Slope. And looks like the lease has run out on that, and they're going to be closing it at the end of this lease. And allegedly, the plan to reopen in a new location later this spring. Will they? I just don't know.
I thought they went out of. I shouldn't say went out of business. I'm trying to find the right words for it, but like. I know they were acquired by that group down in New Orleans, and then that group went under or something like that. So, like, for as much financial turmoil as they all were in, and they weren't making beer anymore, what, like, I'm really struggling to understand why they're even talking about opening another location. I mean, like, I understand the lease went out, but I guess unless you're just making so much money there that it makes sense to keep going, like, I'm really struggling to understand why. Anybody that knows anything about this company would be excited about them opening another location.
Yeah, it's just over to me. Like, you don't just say, oh, we're going to open a new spot. Trust us, wink, wink, because they said that about Wilmington. They said that about Charlotte. Oh, remember, like, Charlotte, they were going to open a new one in Southend. Okay, cool. Where is it? Have you heard anything about it? No, because there's nothing to hear.
I mean, I guess in fairness, Old Mech announced, what, 4 different locations they were going to open up?
Oh, true. Mm-hmm.
You know, there was the one, you know, north of Charlotte that never really materialized. And of course, then COVID. But then I think they had like 2 or 3 different sites in Ballantyne that they had announced. And I mean, it's finally open, but still, it's a little different. We are not made the same.
No. And I know that, like, Asheville, I mean, everything just kind of took a hit. Asheville downtown isn't the same tourism-wise.
Oh, yeah.
But, I know that everybody's got to be struggling versus, like, this time last year. But I just don't really I could be wrong, but I don't see Catawba bouncing back from this. They've left a real bad taste in a lot of folks' mouths, so.
Yo, Benson did what she planned to do all along and finally kill it.
I mean, they haven't committed to where they're going. You know, they said they're coming back soon, which of course you would say that. You don't want to, you don't want to tell people you're shutting the doors forever. You know, you want right. to leave some hope there. I get it.
Yeah, but for who, I guess, is really the question. Who has that hope?
I mean, you know, we joke about Sycamore, we joke about Catawba, and, you know, it's hard for us because we spend a lot of time looking, thinking, talking about the industry and what's going on with it. Not everybody is aware, or nor do they care. This is the place that I like going for whatever reason. This is where all my friends are.
True.
You know, they don't know the backstory. They don't care who actually owns the company, who actually is running it into the ground, who actually is doing any of that. They just want to make sure, you know, they just want to go to their place that they like. The end.
Valid point. All right. Next up. Would you gentlemen like to go to the world's tallest brewery?
Is it the tallest brewery or the highest?
World's highest.
Highest. How high?
33 stories up.
Perhaps it's called level 33?
Yep. 489.89 feet above the ground. That's actually truly wild, man.
I kind of expect to hear. So Guinness has not Guinness.
Yes.
Yep. Guinness World Records certified.
Yep.
That level 33 was, you know, the highest off the ground brewery, mm-hmm. which, you know, like whatever. Every time I see it, it's a Guinness World Record. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, like, literally they have records for everything, including, you know, which brewery has the most stories between it and the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I keep waiting to hear that Sweetwater Lagunitas is going to announce that they're moving into a building on level 42.
They will actually be the world's highest microbrewery, or
correct,
highest employees, maybe. But it is pretty neat. Again, you've got a brewery on the 33rd floor in Singapore, of all places. And this view looked pretty cool. That's got to be expensive. Like, you're looking yeah. at a crane literally lifting the brew house, everything up. I mean, don't drop it. I don't know. If I was in Singapore, hell yeah, I would absolutely go there and check it
Why
out.
Why not? Like, totally. Why not?
And also, like, here I am, like, never having even heard of this place, and it's, you know, celebrating 15 years in business, so must be doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, how often do you go to Singapore for a brewery crawl? I mean,
the first time for everything, right?
That's right.
Probably be a little bit more sober.
Probably.
Yeah. What can I say, man? Barley wine and mead and bourbon blend. Like, anyway.
I mean, what's the worst that could happen other than having a nasty hangover?
I mean, the worst thing that can happen was I ended up at a winery that honestly, it just reminded me of Sycamore mixed with like the roaming packs of children at High Sparrow Arts. It was intense. Josh, we will not be going there when you're in town. I don't even want to walk. I don't even want to walk you past it. It was a lot.
It was that bad.
Yeah.
You know, it may flip out.
Your whole crew. Your eyes just start switching, and suddenly there's just a Josh-shaped cloud of dust where you were standing just a second ago.
So, yes, to go back to Jeff's fantastic segue.
That was such a good segue.
Sorry. It really was. It's okay. What if you could never have a hangover?
Wouldn't be me.
I feel like that'd be dangerous.
Right?
Like, it's already bad enough. Sometimes I feel like I've built up a tolerance, and you know, you have a couple and you're not really feeling it, and you get home and it's like, you know, statistically, empirically, by the data, maybe I shouldn't have driven. I don't like to be in that spot. I would definitely not want to then be in a spot where it's like, oh, hey, somebody's DD. Well, then I'm just going to tear one up and have no regrets the next day. I mean, this is not Groundhog Day.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
apparently, go ahead.
There are people that don't get hangovers. That's wild.
Yeah. What the fuck? You know, so I'm trying to remember. I think this was pre-Wells days. Jeff, do you remember when we used to get those samples from these places that claimed like you wouldn't get a hangover, and we'd get Mark really drunk and have him try it?
Yeah, I don't think any of those worked.
Yeah, I don't think they did either. None of them.
I mean, so, you know, what I find interesting is that like you can find articles about, you know, scientists really don't even fully understand all of what causes the effects of the hangover. And I think we all understand how we get there, right? But why do you feel the way you do? What's really going on? You know, everybody's got their own miracle cure, you know, whether it's electrolytes or Gatorade or Pedialyte or whatever.
Activated yeast packets.
Yeah, you know, whatever works for you, you know.
A big old greasy hamburger.
Sounds good right now.
A paunch burger.
Put it in your face mouth.
No, so this is just one of those things where it's interesting, and I would love to know why some people don't, because I don't know about the two of you, but as I've gotten older, they get worse.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. Real bad. Like, I don't want to do anything the next day so bad to where now I'm at the point of, I know how much I would drink that would put me to that limit, so I don't even fuck with it anymore, because I don't want to feel that way. Like, that next day is just horrendous.
It's been so long since I've had like an actual physical kind of hangover. I've got to really be tying one on. I just don't usually let myself get that far gone that I'm physically hungover the next day. But for me, it's the anxiety.
Yes, you and I have talked about this.
Hate it. I just have a hard time rolling out of bed.
So this is something that actually both Wells and I do kind of share a little bit of. It's almost as much mental as it is physical, if that makes any sense at all.
Okay.
Where our anxiety gets so bad that you're just like, fuck it. I don't want to do anything.
So is that something that's in your head already that you're fighting, or is that something that's exacerbated by what you're consuming, or what's driving that, do you think?
Right, exactly. And so my argument, or not argument,
that was a real question.
I have no idea what drives it. I just know I wake up the next morning and it's like, oh God, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do anything. There's just this like sense of dread that the second I get out of bed and like do anything, something bad's going to happen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. And, you know, just through conversations that we have both had about that, like, I kind of feel like part of it is just overall, like, there's this level of anxiety that's already there, just kind of naturally in us, and it just magnifies tenfold that next day if you tie one on too bad. I don't know, I could be wrong, but that's how I see it with myself, because yeah, I know me.
Sounds about right for me, too.
Like, I know that You know, generally, and it just sucks as I've gotten older, I've just become more and more of an anxious person. And, you know, I know working from home has not helped that by any stretch of the imagination. And me being basically a shut-in
doesn't help. I was having this conversation with somebody earlier today about being claustrophobic. Like, I don't really get it real bad, but as the years have gone by, I've noticed I'm getting a little more sensitive to it. And, you know, I don't necessarily like to, you know, be at a, like, whether it's a bar or something like that, if people are a little too close or if the seats are a little too close, I get a little itchy. I like to be on the end. I like having an exit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it definitely feels like either I'm paying more attention to it now. I'm more sensitive. I don't know. Like, so kind of what you guys are saying, like, it makes a lot of sense that, you know, unscientifically we're observing changes in ourselves and, you know, things that didn't bother us before kind of do now. That, or we're just getting to be crotchety old men, which is also,
it's violent. Also true.
I honestly think it is a little from column A and a little from column B.
Yeah.
Agree. I really do.
I agree.
Cool. Well, do we have any other thoughts? Any other things we want to cover before we go hit our break?
I think we're okay.
I think I'm good.
Cool. Well, we will be back in 30. And then, of course, I'll put our pause in for music. I guess we'll just talk about what we're drinking and then wrap up.
Sounds good. Oh, we're drinking beer throughout the course of this recording?
It's a little different. You'll notice we're not rambling nearly as much.
Right? All right. Are we ready?
You got it.
Cool. And we're back. So we're doing buy, no buy, but it's obviously a lot different because we're doing this remote. So really, this is more, what are you drinking? So, Jeff, what are you drinking?
So it's weird. Normally we would, you know, we're at Josh's house and there's a drive up and there's the anticipation. And then there's like, we've got all this beer to share with each other. And so, you know, we've got all this big list of things to try. And so, like, I'm sitting there struggling with, like, what do I do when it's just me here all by myself? So I grabbed a can of the Lucky Sevens from Divine Barrel. We'd had it on the show. So that was the just the two of us show a couple episodes back. And darn it, it was good then. It's good now. And enjoyed it then. Enjoy it now.
Cool. By the way, those did hit retail because I saw those at Common Market this last weekend.
It's always weird with their, I shouldn't say weird, but it's always a gamble with their limited release, especially their anniversary stuff, because you just never know exactly how much they're going to make and how much gets out there. But
yeah,
shout out to Divine Barrel for having a great product and standing behind your product and being there for as long as they have. It's great.
True. Mr. Wells.
Yes. So we all know that the Vale does pretty consistently good hazies. But being married to who I'm married to, I, of course, got to know their West Coast IPAs very well. And this is a little four-pack that we picked up on Sunday. Needed a little hair of the dog. And Vent is the name of it. It is a, as I said, West Coast IPA, just a touch under 7%. And it's just an easy drinking bitter boy. This thing scratches that Divine Barrel itch. For me, at least. So it's nice to have it. It's not quite as dry as the DB beers are, but it's nice for me to have something a little bit more local. Josh, what you drinking on?
Well, you know, all those Black Tuesdays, I decided to know.
Oh, God.
I'm on number better than, yeah.
I'm on number three.
Yeah, no, you're not. Nice try.
No, I'm not. So I picked up a beer from Aslan a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
This is called Grove Stand. It's an IPA that is literally just brewed with oranges, and it tastes like orange juice, and it smells like orange juice, and it is fan-fucking-tastic.
Nice.
So you buy it? It? Yeah, like, it's so crazy to me, just all the... I know we talk about this all the time, but... all the stuff we can just kind of get on the regular now. Like, I've got other half just sitting in there. I haven't seen anything from the Vale in a little bit at my spot, but you know, gonna commonly get their stuff. Aslan's just now kind of here. I dig it. I really like just having all this wide selection of this national stuff all of a sudden, even though we always scream local, local, local. I'm like, ooh, but Aslan, ooh, but other half.
I mean, it is nice to get, you know, like, I love the fact that I've got incredibly fresh, incredibly local West Coast IPA. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
But then there, you know, there's a lot of times that it's, you know, it's nice to also get a change up so that I'm not just, you know, replacing my entire bloodstream with Divine Barrel West Coast IPA. You know, like, I get it. There's a place for both.
Although I will complain about Aslan in particular, they use the Super Julian date stuff. Why is this still a thing? Like, shouldn't this be illegal? Like, all breweries should just tell me when it was canned. Don't give me this weird Julian date nonsense.
Sure, but if they were that transparent, then, like, that might scare people away from buying old beer. But if you, like, you know, kind of hide how old that beer really is sometimes, then, you know,
more sales. Yeah, suckers like me will say, oh, it's Aslan, I'll buy it. Yeah. Whatever. All right, Jeff, we're at the end of the show. Where are we at, my man?
Come check us out on the interwebs. Go to craftbeercast.com, find links to old episodes or Patreon if you want to support us that way. Yeah, you know, you'll notice we're trying something a little different here with Wells moving to Virginia. We couldn't justify driving there every other Monday, so yeah.
I'd recommend you.
Since those two knuckleheads weren't willing to drive to, you know, Union County ever, maybe once in 7 years, you know, didn't have a whole lot of options. So we tried doing some remote stuff. So, you know, hopefully we get some good feedback on this, and appreciate your support because it helps, you know, us to, you know, fund the things that we need to fund in order to keep things going. So just because Wells was moving away didn't mean that we wanted to stop any of this. And so we're going to try and do some more creative stuff, maybe with some other folks as time goes by. But yeah, meanwhile, hit us up on email, contact@craftbeercast.com. Wells, where can they find you?
They can find me at All The Wells on Instagram. Josh, where can they find you?
So it's right here. Don't forget about our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. Rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice. And of course, tell a friend, tell somebody you've been listening to us for all these years. And yeah, there's no other socials, just email. If you ever want to get in contact with us, just email. And other than that, we will talk to you all next Thursday.